The second concept, which is stressed within the Quran, and this word comes right next to halal in so many places, is the concept of tayyib. Tayyib means good, wholesome, pure foods. So not only should we eat halal, but just as important, we should eat healthy. We should eat healthy, good, wholesome, pure foods. Now you look at the way that the foods are processed in this country, it's disgusting. It's disgusting what goes on with some of these. I don't even want to go into it because people will never eat again. It's so disgusting. Especially if you go to an outside restaurant, when people are making the food, let me tell you that everything that goes on in those restaurants has an effect on you. If you go to eat at an outside restaurant, the person who is paid to cook there, he hates his job. He's cursing his boss every 5 minutes while he's cooking that food. That anger is in the food. That hate is in the food. And on top of that, he doesn't wash his hands most likely when he uses the washroom. They're not clean about when they're touching pork and not touching pork. Everything goes into that food and is presented before you, and it has all these effects upon you. There was a very famous sheikh in Pakistan, Fazl Ali Qureshi, rahmatullah alayh. Fazl Ali Qureshi, he used to run a spiritual lodge. You know, like we have madrasas that train you in ilm, there are khanakas that train you in spirituality. So he used to run a spiritual lodge, and people used to come and learn to dhikr of Allah, to concentrate in their prayer, to devote themselves to the Quran. And what he used to do in that khanaka, he used to plant the food with his own hands in a field outside of that khanaka, him and his wife, because he wanted the students to progress as fast as possible so that they could go out and benefit the rest of the community. So he would plant with his own hands everything in a field outside of... Now imagine, this is the sheikh of the khanaka is going himself and telling the muridin, you stay here, you do dhikr all day, I'll plant and bring you your food. So he used to plant the food. He used to harvest the flour. He used to grind the flour. His wife used to make the bread. Then they used to cook the bread. And they would only eat bread, and then they would eat some kind of curry with that bread on a daily basis in this Hanukkah. This had a great spiritual effect on the students. It helped them progress very quickly towards their goal of deepening their acts of ibadah. So anyway, just as a side point, one time he was sitting before all of his students, and he rarely spoke. He would rarely speak. And when he would speak, he would say, O fuqara, meaning, oh, you poor people, meaning, oh, you poor people in the face of Allah. Allah is rich and we are fuqara. Allahu ghani wa antumul fuqara. Allah is rich and you are fuqara. So he would say, oh, fuqara. Anytime he would say, oh, fuqara, everybody would stop what they're doing and immediately rush in a circle around him, because he rarely spoke, and when he was going to speak, it was going to be some deep wisdom. Some very, very deep wisdom. So on one occasion, he says to the people... Actually, I'll tell you another story about this Hanukkah that somebody who used to be there told me. One time, two people were sitting in this Hanukkah, and everybody was sitting in the Hanukkah, and there were two old men sitting next to each other. And they were very, very deep in their dhikr, and all of a sudden, one gets up and starts hitting the other one. And he just punches him very hard. And the other one punches him, and they're screaming at each other. They're punching each other like this. And so everybody's going, what is going on here? So they go up to those two people, and one is saying, Allah is mine! And the other one is saying, Allah is mine! And the other one is saying, Allah is mine! They were getting so deep in their dhikr that they began beating each other. They were so jealous, who is Allah, who is for Allah, they began beating one another over it. So this is how deep they used to get in their remembrance of Allah in this particular lodge. So one time he says to the people, in order to teach them a beautiful lesson, he calls all of the students there, and he says, oh, fuqara, I planted the seeds of the field of this Hanukkah in a state of wudu. And when I harvested the crop, I was in a state of wudu. And when I ground the flour with my own hands, I was in a state of wudu. And when my wife, she made the bread, she was in a state of wudu. And when the servants came to give you the bread, they were in a state of wudu. So, oh, fuqara, shouldn't you eat this food in a state of wudu? And everybody began crying, because many of them did not have a state of wudu. He was trying to teach them a lesson. So the point is that food, the point that I was getting at is that food has a very, very deep effect on your spiritual being. And we should be very, very careful. We should eat halal and tayyib. Now tayyib not only means wholesome and pure, but it has a lot of other implications if you look at the hadith. For example, nowadays, the way they treat animals, they stick all these chickens in one cage. They stick them back to back, neck to neck, they can't even move. And in order that they don't peck at each other, they shave their beaks off. And they keep them in these tight, tight cages. So when you treat an animal like that, and this is also reflected in hadith, there are hadith about this as well. If you treat an animal like that, and you are just oppressing these animals, then this result comes in their meat, and in the food that you receive from these animals. Similarly, they jack up these animals with antibiotics. They're pumping them regularly with antibiotics, and they pump them with steroids. with all these steroids and all these antibiotics in order to force them to grow bigger and in order to force them to give off more milk. And all of these things, believe me, not only do they have a spiritual effect, but they also have a physical effect. They have physical effects as well, and people look into this and people study this, and I think this is something that's going to become more apparent over the next 10 to 20 years as we gain more information about it. But all these genetically altered things and all the steroids and antibiotics that people are randomly pumping into food, it has an effect. So we should seek to eat halal and tayyib. And the beauty of this is that nowadays there are Muslims who are working on in this very aspect of food. For example, there's a place where I often purchase my meat called Dakota Halal. And Dakota Halal, they have this thing called free range. So they have free range animals where animals are not stuffed in cages, but they're open and allowed to breathe natural air, drink natural water, eat natural food. They don't feed, you know, most animal feed is actually pork. And all these other, all the garbage of the animal that you can imagine, they grind it up and they make this big paste out of it. It's brains and spines and cartilage and pork and all the stuff that you can't use. They grind it up and then they make this big paste out of it and they put it before the animals and make them eat it. That's the food that they give them. In fact, I'm a pathologist, okay? My job is pathology. That's what I do in the hospital. One of the things that we do in pathology is that we analyze tissues. So one of the attendings, one of the senior pathologists, told me that one time when he was at Harvard, he did his residency at Harvard. One time when he was at Harvard, one of the other residents wanted to just do a test of taking some of the common foods that we eat and making slides and seeing what's in them. Like cutting thin sections of that meat and then making a slide out of it and analyzing it under the microscope and seeing what's in it. So they did this for hot dogs, just as a kind of fun thing to see what would happen. And when they did this, they found meat, hair, skin, fragments of skin, fragments of cartilage, fragments of brain. You know, you can identify brain tissue under the microscope. They found all this in all these hot dogs. All these brands, even the kosher brands. He was saying even the kosher brands, when they did this, and they were flashing the slides at a conference showing people, just as sort of a fun thing to do, they don't care. I mean, they were just talking about it for fun. But for me, my heart stopped. You know, this is kind of stuff that even some people will go to the grocery store and buy a kosher hot dog. That's disgusting. It's brain in there, its spinal cord was in there, skin was in there, hair was in there. So you don't even know what you're eating. This is all processed, and they're just trying to maximize the dollar when they sell you this stuff. So you need to be very, very... I mean, I'm not even going into the rest of the foods that they analyzed. It's just completely disgusting. And it has an effect. So we should eat halal and tayyib. So what I was mentioning was there's this place called Dakota Halal. And there are many other places like it. I'm not pushing one place, but I'm just highlighting the fact that Muslims have opened their eyes to this recently. And what they do is they have free-range animals, where animals can range all over. And in fact, there was an NPR thing. The reason why I actually know this very well is because there was an NPR segment, and all these people at work were telling me, did you know that Muslims have opened up this new, you know, they were very interested in this concept. So there's this free range, and what happens at this free range is the animals can range all over freely, they eat naturally from grass, and they're slaughtered properly, and then they're given no antibiotics, no hormones, and none of this, you know, very, very strange kind of feed. And then they slaughter it, they have a Muslim there who slaughters it properly, and then they sell it over a website. And in fact, from my understanding, they also sell it in Chicago now at an outlet. And similarly, there's another brother who, mashallah, has gone to an Amish farm. And the Amish, they're very careful about their food. They use only certain type of chicken. They leave them out. They treat them well. They feed them well. No antibiotics, no steroids, no hormones, nothing. So he went to this Amish farm and he bought a little area there. And he grows his own chickens and he slaughters them in the proper way, according to the Sharia, and he sells these chickens. It's called Halal Pride. So that's another company that started doing this in the chicken market. This now exists, and it's available for you. So when you have the option of eating halal, first, I really think you need to work on halal, because halal, I think many people misunderstand even what halal means. But at the same time, we should move towards tayyib, because this is something that has a huge effect on us, and this is something that was stressed by the Prophet. It was very, very emphasized by the Prophet ﷺ. And this was something that I found dominant within the collection of hadith, this concept of eating good. And throughout the Quran you'll find halalam tayyiba, halalam tayyiba, kulu minat tayyibati, kulu minat tayyibati. Over and over and over again, these verses are being repeated. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats something, look, Allah is Allah. Allah only needs to say something one time and it becomes mandatory upon you. He does not need to repeat himself. This is the Lord of the universe and we are his servants. Should he say something one time, it becomes mandatory upon us. So when he repeats something over and over and over and over again, it highlights that this is something important that you need to draw your attention to. For example, wattaqullah, wattaqullah, wattaqullah. Be conscious of Allah. This is repeated over and over and over again. Same with the concept of eating halal and tayyib. My goal in this little session was to, one, since we've been talking about purity every morning, I thought this was an important aspect of purity which I should touch upon as well. But really my goal is not to give you fatwa on various aspects of food. That you need to do on your own. You need to seek out the ulama in your neighborhood, in your locality, speak to them about this issue, talk to them about this issue, speak to people who have been working on getting Islamic markings on food, discuss with them, ask them what they think, learn from them as well, and then through that you can begin to develop an understanding. I don't want to sit and give various opinions on things, but what I am saying is this is an important issue. That's what I want you to take home. This is an important issue which you need to reflect on. If you feel like you're doing a good job, great. Just so you know, you have to answer. I don't have to answer for you. You have to answer for yourself, right, on the Day of Judgment. And you have to decide how far you want to progress and how careful you want to be about things. And not, let me tell you, this brings barakah into your life. Food has a huge effect. It has a huge effect on your sleep, and it has a huge effect on your ability to concentrate, and it has a huge effect on your productivity. Because this is what is going to nourish your body. This is what is going to energize you in your acts of worship. This is what is going to give your brain the ability to continue to function. So what you put in is what you get out. Garbage in, garbage out. Tayyib in, inshallah, tayyib out. And tayyib is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. Inna Allah tayyib wa la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. Inshallah, I hope that provided a decent message. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.